Good evening. Chapter 9 of Daniel brings us the revelation of the 70 weeks prophecy. These are 70 weeks of years, in other words, 490 years, during which the Lord would be dealing with his people Israel. 483 years have already been fulfilled, but there is still a 7-year period yet to come, which we also find in the book of Revelation. So be blessed as you listen to Daniel chapter 9.
Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither that you have driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against you. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten you renown as at this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousnesses, but for your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for your own sake, O my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications the commandment came forth, and I come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon your people, and upon your holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision, and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. To the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant. Actually, the Hebrew says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many. Again, the Hebrew says, the many. Shall I read that again? Verse 27. And he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, or shall be poured upon the desolator. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word and pray that you will bless it to us. Open our understanding, Lord, tonight, that we may know your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the first year of Darius, the king of the Medes. In other words, the prophecies that the visions that Daniel had seen and the prophetic utterances that he had made were now coming into force. He had foretold and he had seen in vision that the Babylonian Empire would be overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, and now he's living in that time in chapter 9. The first part of his prophecy, of his vision, has come to pass. Make no mistake about it. Everything in the vision, everything in the visions that Daniel has seen will come to pass. And in this chapter 9, we also read in verse 2 that Daniel had an interest in prophecy as well. Prophecy that had been given by prophets before him. And he'd read the writings of Jeremiah the prophet, which we have in our Bible. And through reading Jeremiah, he found there that God had said that his people would go into captivity and they would be there for 70 years. And I should imagine to Daniel, getting on a bit in years now, that this came as a really sweet promise, that the time of the captivity, of the exile of the people of God, was coming to an end, that they would return to the land of promise. You see, the times that Daniel was living in were the times when Israel were not God's people. Yes, they were God's people, but God had said, "You're not my people." And God brought evil against them. He brought the Assyrians against them. He brought the Babylonians against them. And Hosea had prophesied before it all came to pass. If you read the prophecy of Hosea, he said, "There will come a time when you'll not be my people. You will be Lo Ami, not my people." But there will come a time further on where in the place that it was said they are not my people, they will be my people. God promised that there would be a restoration. And Daniel was living in the time when the people of God were not God's people. God had given them over to the idolatry and to the idolaters whom they had served. And we find it in Daniel chapter 9, the beginning of this chapter, that Daniel takes the position of the people of God that the people of God should have taken. You have to understand that amongst the people of Israel and amongst the Jewish people today, there is an idea of corporate responsibility. That when one sins, the whole nation suffer. The example in the Bible is the sin of Achan. He sinned and the whole people suffered. And Daniel took the position, therefore, of responsibility to confess the sins of himself and of the people of God before God. He took upon himself the responsibility of the disobedience of the people of God and confessed the sins. And he includes himself in it. He confesses my sins and the sins of my people. And he comes before the Lord, seeking the face of God, fasting, clothed in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, this wasn't just some easy thing for Daniel. He meant what he was saying to God. And he was demonstrating it in every way possible that he was truly repentant and sorry for his sins and the sins of the people of God. The funny thing about this confession, as you're reading the book of Daniel, is that you never read anything bad about Daniel. He's one of the righteous servants of God. What does he rely upon? He says, I'm not relying on our righteousnesses, but Lord, on your great mercies. And it's always the same, Old Testament and New Testament, is coming to the God of all grace, the one who delights to forgive. Hallelujah. And he comes to God because of God's great mercies. And while he was speaking, and while he was praying, and while he was confessing his own sins and the sins of his people Israel, while he was coming before God, the man Gabriel. Isn't it interesting? He refers to him as the man Gabriel. And Gabriel came. There's a vision here, which Gabriel expounds to Daniel. And he assures Daniel that from the very beginning, his prayers had been heard. That should be an encouragement for us. You know, when we pray, be assured, if we're praying in faith, our Heavenly Father hears and knows before we ask what things we have need of. Be assured that, as we sometimes sing in one of the choruses, the answer's on the way. Praise the Lord. It might be a time in coming, but it's coming. And from the moment Daniel set himself to pray, the answer was on its way. And it's the vision tonight that we really want to focus upon. And Gabriel says to him, you're greatly beloved. The Lord wants you to know that tonight about yourselves too. You're greatly beloved. Let it encourage you to step out in faith and to ask of the Lord those things that you need, those things that are necessary. Because you're greatly beloved. And the Lord wants to bestow upon you, like any parent wants to give to their children in love and won't deny that which is necessary and that which is important. So the Lord wants us to know, you're greatly beloved. But here's the vision. And he says to Daniel, understand the matter and consider the vision. In other words, this vision is not beyond our understanding. It's for us to understand. It's for us to consider and to think upon. And here's the vision, from verse 24 onwards. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city. Now this is God speaking to Daniel about Israel, who are not God's people. God doesn't say to him, these weeks are determined upon my people Israel. He says they're determined upon your people. The people you've been praying for and confessing sins about. These 70 weeks are determined on your people. They're still in the situation of being not my people. Now the 70 weeks has marvellously been fulfilled, 90% of it. There's 10% to go. The weeks are weeks of years. They're not weeks of days. They're groups of seven parts. So 70 groups of 7 years. And if your maths is up to it, 70 times 7, 70 groups of 7, is 490. So 490 years, if you want to translate it, 490 years are determined upon your people Israel. For what? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. 490 years, and Israel, the people of God, will know an end to their sins and transgressions dealt with. They'll know an everlasting righteousness. They will be the Lord's forever. And you might well say that hasn't happened yet. And it hasn't. But things have happened on the way. Let's read a bit further of these weeks, these 490 years. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, that's quite specific. Who's the Messiah the Prince? That's Jesus. It's Jesus. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So it's divided it up into two groups, 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks of years is 49 years. 62 weeks are 434 years. Add those two together, 49 and 434, you've got 483 years. That's the 90% of the prophecy, 483 years. When does it start? It starts, let me read it again, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. When did that happen? Well, read the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, we find that Artaxerxes, the king, it's a bit of a mouthful, I know, Artaxerxes, the king, gave commandment for the walls of Jerusalem, the city, to be rebuilt. The temple had been built in the time of Ezra, but the going forth to rebuild Jerusalem, the city, came from Artaxerxes. And that command historically was given in 445 BC. That's when it started. Until Messiah the Prince, hallelujah, when did he die? Round about 29-30 AD. He was born about 5 or 6 BC. Herod the Great died in 4 BC. So they got the dating wrong. The total, when you add it all up, it doesn't come to 483 years. But what we have to understand in these prophecies is that the year in those days, and in prophecy, were years of 360 days. That's why when you get 3.5 years in the book of Revelation, it's 1,260 days. And 1,260 days is 3.5 years of 360 days. When you then look at it as 360 days in a year, it comes out exactly from the time the commandment went forth to when Jesus died upon the cross. We should rejoice, because the prophecy was given to Daniel, and this is a scripture that the Jews had before Jesus came, was fulfilled to the letter, to the number. 483 prophetic years. And it's divided up. That 483 years is divided up into 49 years and 434 years. The 49 years were the years in which the walls were built, even in troublous times. And read Nehemiah, and they were troublesome times when they built the walls. In the end, they had to build the walls with the men having a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Build with one, defend with the other. They were troublesome times, but they built the walls. 49 years. That's an interesting period of time too. Because for the Jews, after 49 years, they had a Jubilee year. And then it says, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. He was crucified. He was cut off. Hallelujah. Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. Now, whilst it looks very nice and it fits in with that idea that Jesus died for our sins, it's not actually a correct translation. It says, and he should be cut off, but not for himself. And it's true. He died for us. He died for our sins. But that's not what it says. It's what it says is what the margin says it says. And he shall have nothing. And in the context of the people of God, this is exactly what happened when Jesus came. When he died upon the cross, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, that's how we're looking at this, they rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. When he died, he had no kingdom on this earth. Or, you know, we understand the kingdom differently. But in terms of his being the king of Israel, he was rejected. He had nothing. I can still rejoice that he died, but not for himself. He died for me, hallelujah. Amen. And then we move on. It says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who were the people that destroyed the city and the sanctuary after Jesus died? Who destroyed Jerusalem? Who destroyed the temple? They burned it, plundered it of all the gold that was in there. The Romans. In 70 AD, some 40 years after Jesus had died, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. They besieged it for 3 years. There was a war from 66 to 70 AD between the Jews and the Romans. 1 million Jews were killed. The city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And the Jewish people were scattered. These are the people that destroyed Jerusalem. And this prophecy is about the people of the prince that shall come. So this prince that shall come, it's not the Messiah, the prince, is a prince of the Romans. Who is he? He's the beast in Revelation chapter 13. That last world emperor. He's the beast, the world ruler, yet to be revealed. Coming out of a revived Roman empire. We seem to be living in the mess of it at the moment. Out of this mess that's the European Union will come the empire and the emperor. And out of that mess, if you've read Revelation 13 and you've read also the earlier prophecies in Daniel, will come ten kings, ten rulers. This is who this prince is. And what Europe needs now, from a political point of view, is strong leadership. Somebody to sort out the mess of the finances. There's money there. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And they did. And the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then verse 27 says, and he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. Now who's the he? It's the prince of this revived Roman Empire. What's happened since Jesus died? Well, you see, the years that are referred to by these 70 weeks are divided up. 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that's 69 weeks, until Jesus dies. And then until the next week, the final week, which is mentioned separately, there's a huge gap where God again, as it were, suspends operations. Where Israel are not my people again. They've been scattered by the Romans. they're not my people again. What's been happening in that 2,000 years? It's been the time of the church. The time where the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon God's spiritual people, the church. This is the age of God's grace, where whoever will believe will be saved, will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, doesn't matter. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved by God's grace. Hallelujah. And God is not dealing with his people Israel. The kingdom of Israel and the gospel of that kingdom is suspended, as it were. The gospel of that kingdom will be proclaimed again. That's where some people go wrong in Matthew 24, about the gospel being preached in all the world. It's the gospel of the kingdom that we preach in all the world during the tribulation period. Nothing to do with the times we're living in. It's no good saying, well, Jesus will come as soon as we preach the gospel in all the world. It doesn't refer to the gospel of grace. Matthew 24 brings us into tribulation times, when God is again dealing with his people Israel. He's not dealing with the church anymore, because he's taken the church to be with himself. We've got to rightly divide these times. It's amazing how people can get these doctrines. And the Bible says we don't know when he's coming, but God has set a day when he will judge the world in righteousness. And because he set a day when he will judge the world in righteousness, there is a day when he will come back again. Jesus will come again. It's linked to the day of judgment. And you can't bring that day forward, and you can't delay it. That day is set. Jesus will come again. Hallelujah. These people who say, let's make Jesus come more quickly by doing this and by doing the other, it's not biblical. And he, this world ruler, the beast, shall confirm a covenant. He will confirm a covenant. It's a treaty. It's a peace treaty of some sort. He will confirm a covenant with the many. Who are the many? It's the people of the Jews who are apostate. There are those Jews who will seek the Lord. There are Jews that will be sealed. Read it in Revelation. But he will make a covenant with the many for 1 week. In other words, for 7 years. And you go to Revelation and you find the 7 years are there in the book of Revelation. And halfway through the 7 years, after 1,260 days, 42 months, that which Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 will happen. The abomination that makes desolate is set up. And that's what it says here. In the midst of the week, halfway through the week, 3.5 years into it, that's 3.5 prophetic years, 1,260 days, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. One translation of that is, upon the wings of abomination, or upon the wing of abominations, shall come one that makes desolate. There will be terrible times. Jesus said so. There's never been a time of trouble on earth like it, and there never will be after it. When that abomination of desolation is set up, it will be terrible. These are times when God is dealing with his people, the Jews. As I've mentioned so many times before, Isaiah refers to it as the time of Jacob's trouble. That's Jeremiah says. Now, Isaiah says in chapter 28 and verse 18, talking to his people Israel, and verse 18 he says, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, and when you shall be trodden down by it. Isaiah is prophesying of these days. A covenant with death, an agreement with hell. Who is this Antichrist? Where does his power come from? Satan. The dragon gives him his power. It's an agreement with death. It's an agreement with hell. That's what he will do. There'll be a peace treaty, but in the middle of the 7 years, it will be broken, and there'll be a scourge, an overflowing scourge. And it will culminate, of course, in all the nations coming against Israel, getting to Jerusalem, entering Jerusalem. They'll be taking the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus will come, the Messiah. His feet will come and stand upon the Mount of Olives. The Bible declares it. The Mount of Olives will part in two. Hallelujah. Rivers of... Well, we've been through that before. But Jesus is coming. And they will look upon him. Zechariah says they will look upon him whom they've pierced. There'll be a cleansing. Hallelujah. A fountain open to the house of David. A cleansing for the people of Israel. The everlasting righteousness will be brought in. an end of the transgressions, an end of the sins. This is when it will happen. Hallelujah. At the end of that time. We've read about the things in Revelation. We've read about these things in the earlier chapters of Daniel. And now in this prophecy, a time is given to it. The only thing we don't know is when the 7 years starts. It'll be 7 years. And Israel will again be God's people. Redeemed. There's only one way. By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their Messiah who died for them. Praise the Lord. Things are moving towards it. Worried about Greece? People are worried. All these things have got to happen to bring about the final configuration. It's interesting though that they decided they would retain forever the 12 stars, which is an imitation of the 12 stars you find in Revelation. The woman crowned with 12 stars. They've got a different woman, Europa. A different woman is a Greek goddess. But the 12 stars will keep the 12. Even if we have 50 nations, we'll keep the 12 stars. It's a satanic imitation of what's in the Bible. But out of it will come a stronger structure. It will be satanically inspired. It's based on Rome, as I said before. It's the Treaty of Rome, 1957. It's all based on the Treaty of Rome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't we live in exciting times?
Thank you once again, Lord, for your presence with us tonight. We pray you will keep us through these difficult times, that you will provide all our needs according to your riches in glory. Lord, we can trust your promises. Lord, we pray tonight for Anne and her family, that you will bless and keep them in this time of loss and difficulty. And we continue to pray for Heidi and Nathaniel, that they may fully recover from their recent illnesses. Tonight, Lord, I bring before you Tom Pegg, that you will ease the pain which he is suffering and help him with his mobility, that it may be pain-free, Lord. And Lord, I also pray for Rose Auerhant, that, Lord, you will comfort and strengthen her there in her home, spent most of the time on her own. But, Lord, may she know your presence with her every day. Lord, we ask these things, and we lift one another up, Lord, before you, day by day, that, Lord, you will supply and provide every need for your people in these difficult times. Lord, we pray you'll bring this coronavirus situation to an end, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray you'll be merciful to this country, Lord, and bring it to a speedy end, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.